Amen. Denise excited today. Are y'all excited today?
Yes.
Hallelujah. Praise God. You know, I got up earlier than what I normally do this morning, and I was praying for a little while. And you know how I thought, okay, I got to take a break, Lord. I'm going to take a break, and I'm going to let my mind numb out here for a minute. I'm just going to click the news on. So I turned the TV on, and when I turned the TV on, it was a car commercial. And the car commercial said, "Alexis, tell me the quickest route to get home." And I'm sitting there, I'm thinking, that's crazy. But even in that, the Holy Spirit's still ministering to me. You know, he don't cut off. We can try to cut off, but he don't cut off. He's still ministering to us. And he told me, he said, you know that Alexis is old technology? I said, well, how's Alexis old technology? He said that technology has been around since the book of Acts. It's like, okay. That technology to us is the Holy Spirit. You know how today in that technology people use Alexis for just the silliest things. Tell me the quickest way to get home. Tell me the fastest route to the fast food joint. Tell me where I left my wallet. I mean, but if you think about it, when the Holy Spirit said that to me, I thought, you know, you're right. When the Holy Spirit come to this earth, if we would use the Holy Spirit like the world uses Alexa. Amen? Holy Spirit, tell me what I need to do today. Holy Spirit, tell me who I need to talk to today. Amen? And I know Pastor Kathy uses the Holy Spirit a lot. Holy Spirit, tell me where my car keys are. Amen?
Yeah.
So the Holy Spirit is available and ready for our use. Amen? So we ask the Holy Spirit to come alongside us, lead us, guide us, and teach us. Amen? So I just thought that was kind of neat this morning how in my own Peabody brain, I thought I was just going to cut it off and sit there and watch TV for a minute. He's like, no. So, amen? Be open to the Holy Spirit. Always be listening for the Holy Spirit. Amen? Yeah. Praise God. God's good. Yeah. I was thinking, I would like to be able to say I was thinking earlier this week, but seeing how Pastor Ronnie had an emergency meeting he had to go to today that had kind of fell off the calendar, and didn't fall off the calendar, let me rephrase that. He had to be somewhere today, and he let me know Friday that I would be ministering Sunday. So, praise the Lord. Ready in season and out of season, right? You better be ready. Amen. So fortunately, the Holy Spirit had prompted me this week. Amen. So I had a little something worked up, praise God. He had already been working on me. So earlier in the week, it does fall back earlier in the week. He was talking to me and he was telling me, you know, every day when we get up, we have a choice. We have a choice to serve either our spiritual man or woman or our carnal man or woman. You make that, whether you do it consciously or unconsciously, I can't imagine that you could do it unconsciously. But every day you make that decision. Am I going to serve my spirit or am I serving God? Or am I serving my flesh today? Amen?
Come on now.
And naturally, as being believers and being Christians, we should serve our spirit. Amen?
Amen?
But we all know we're here on this world, and sometimes it's tough. I mean, we all go through stuff. Amen?
Amen.
I mean, I would be a flat-out liar to stand up here and tell y'all that I have no problems. I never go through any trials. I never go through any temptations. There's nothing that never bothers me. That would just be a flat-out, bold-faced lie.
Amen.
And I would say, I would dare to say, if anybody stood up and said that, I would be looking to see if that was Jesus that came back that could say that. Because Jesus is the only person that I know that conquered sin with no problem and left an example for us to strive to be like him. Amen?
Amen?
So knowing that, nobody's perfect. Don't expect anybody to be perfect. You're setting yourself up for failure if you're expecting someone to be perfect. Amen? Praise God. So, it being our spirit, we should, our spirit man or woman should dominate. That's what came to me. Your spirit should dominate. Your spirit should rule your life, being guided by the Holy Spirit. Amen? So I wrote down the definition of dominant. It's to exert the supreme determining or guiding influence on. So your spirit should be the determining, guiding influence on your life. Amen? You've heard that saying before. Pastor Ronnie said it before. Whichever dog you feed the most. Amen? That's the truth. If you feed your spirit the most with the Word of God and in prayer, your spirit will dominate. If you feed your flesh the most, your flesh will dominate. I guarantee you. Amen? And another part of it, dominate. To overlook from superior elevation or command because of superior height or position. I like that right there. Because of superior height or position. That's where God has placed you and I. At that superior height and position. That we should be able to dominate with our spirit. Amen? When we're here on this world, as a believer, our spirit man should dominate. Amen? Praise God. Well, let's look in the Bible. Let's look in Romans. If you have your Bible, say amen.
Amen.
Y'all kind of a quiet bunch in here. I'm going to have to turn those lights up and get them a little brighter. It's kind of funny. I'm telling on myself. But the first Sunday we had these lights in here, Pastor Kathy had them probably about dim where they're at right now. And I had walked back there after practice and I kind of turned them up a little bit. Well, she came right in behind me and turned them back down. So, praise God. So, it's a little harder to see y'all out there. Can you see? This is my concern. Can you see your Bible well? Can you see to read in your Bible? Praise God. That's the main thing. Randall, put your glasses on. Maybe you can see. Amen. Are you in Romans? Hallelujah. Did I tell you where to go in Romans? Oh, come on. If y'all are spirit-led and y'all are feeding off your spirit, nah, I'm just kidding. It's Romans 8. Go to Romans 8. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. You know, church should be fun. We should have a good time every time we come into the house of God. Amen? You know, it talks about when you're in your giving and your tithes and stuff, if you're not able to make it to church that day, you should throw a party. It says that? Well, maybe some people shouldn't read that part of the Bible. But anyways, let's go on past that. We'll look at Romans 8. Let's look at Romans 8, verse 5. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. So that scripture just backs up what I told you a few minutes ago. But those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. So whatever you set your mind on. For to be carnally minded is death. Okay, well that should be pretty plain and simple. If we read that and I get up in the morning and I think, okay, I'm going to serve my flesh today. I'm going to feed it as much chocolate chip cookies as I can. And I'm going to go watch a movie. If I'm fleshly minded and I'm thinking that direction, that verse right there just told me the end result of that was death. To be carnally minded is death. But to be spiritually minded, say that's me.
That's me.
Say that's me a little bit louder.
That's me.
Do you believe that when you say that?
Yes.
Amen. That's me. To be spiritually minded is life and peace. That's what we all want, right? Peace. We want life. We want peace. We want joy. Amen? Because the carnal mind is enmity enmity, yeah, against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So the definition of that word that I'm struggling to say, it's a very deep, unfriendly feeling. Basically, it's an enemy against God. So then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. That's a scary thought. But you are not in the flesh, praise God, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Does the Spirit of God dwell in you?
Yes.
Amen. You're in the Spirit. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for the Word that we can read and the Word that we can comprehend. Amen. Because without comprehension, that Word is what? It's just letters. It's just words. But with the Holy Spirit and with God letting us comprehend that and give us the revelation of that, that's life to us. Amen?
Amen.
So we are of the Spirit. Amen? Hallelujah. Let's look in 1 Peter. 1 Peter 2. So, to back up and tell you a little bit more about where Pastor Ronnie is, I feel like I did an injustice on that. He had to go be with Pastor Rusty out of Greenville, North Carolina. That's several miles away from here. Dr. Bally was going to be in at that church, and Pastor Rusty had asked Pastor Ronnie to come in and say a few words, and they were just going to be together and minister a little bit. So, that's where he had to go today. Amen. Does that make more sense? Thank you, Lord. 1 Peter 2, are you there?
Yes.
1 Peter 2, look in verse 4. Coming to him as a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious. Do you know you're chosen by God? Amen. And I like that where it says precious. God sees us as precious. And if you look up the definition of precious, it means valuable. God sees us as of great value. Amen? If he didn't, he wouldn't have sent his son Jesus. Amen? So when you think about how God sees you, he sees you as his precious child. Amen? Amen. You also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house. If you're feeding your spirit, you're building up the temple of God. A holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Therefore, it is also contained in Scripture. Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he who believes on him will by no means be put to shame. Therefore, to you who believe, he is precious. Amen? We believe, right?
Yes.
But to those who are disobedient, the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. And we know what the chief cornerstone is, right?
Yes.
Jesus. Amen. And a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. They stumble, being disobedient to the word, to which they also were appointed. Did you get that? They stumble, being disobedient to the word. This is the part that I like. But you, say me. You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Amen? That verse alone right there should make you shout that you're a chosen generation, that you've been called out, you've been set apart. Amen? And on over in verse 10, who once were not a people, but are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy.
Amen.
Amen? Amen? Now that we've came into the kingdom, now that we've come into Christ, and He's came inside of us, we obtain that mercy. Amen? Let's look over in Ephesians, where it talks about this a little more. Ephesians 2. Ephesians 2, verse 19. Christ, our cornerstone. Now, therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building, being fitted together, grows up into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. Amen?
Amen.
So when we come together, like today, when we come together into church, this corporate worship, we're being built together for the kingdom of God. Amen? Our spirit man or woman comes into the house and we worship God. And Jesus being that foundation that we're building off of, right? Amen? Amen. Let's look in 1 Peter. Thank you, Lord. I'll slow down with the Bible exploration here in a minute. I'm still looking for 1 Peter. I know it's in here. All right, 1 Peter. Hallelujah. Well, I have written that down wrong in my Bible. All right, praise God. 1 Peter, let's look in chapter 4, verse 12. It says, "Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to you as though some strange thing happened to you." So, we walk in the Spirit, and we strive to be like Jesus, and we obey His command, but yet the Word says while we're here, we'll have trials and temptations, right? Amen. So this scripture here in 1 Peter, it says, do not think it strange. And that, you know, I said earlier to you that we all go through stuff. We all have situations that we deal with on a daily basis, on a weekly basis. And the scripture here says, do not think it strange. I know a lot of people, a lot of times when we get in a situation, we think, am I the only one going through this? Am I the only one that ever had to deal with this? But yet this scripture here says, don't think it strange, that we're going to have to deal with some things. Amen? So it says, the fiery trial which is to try you. Amen? So we all experience these trials in our life. Amen? But if our spirit man is dominating, we will get through those trials. Amen? With Jesus. Praise God. Let's look in Hebrews. Hebrews Hebrews 4. Verse 15. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. Amen? So that's telling me, and that's telling you, that Jesus is not set, he is set high. He's set very high. But he don't see us as we should be perfect. He knows that we're going to have some failures in our life. He knows that we're going to have some trials in our life. And he sympathizes with us, because he knows that we are but mere flesh, right? When Adam and Eve was in the garden, God knew what was going to happen, because God knows everything. But God already had a plan. He had a plan established before the foundations of earth to redeem man. Amen? And we fall in that redemption, right? Pastor Ronnie has been talking for several weeks now about how if we haven't been redeemed, if we weren't redeemed, we wouldn't know God as we know him. We wouldn't know him as that Father. Because the angels look down here at us and see a redeemed creation. And I don't know that I can say that they're jealous, but they don't understand how we can love the Father like we love him. But it's because of our redemption. Amen? Hallelujah. God's good. So, you know, I'm going to talk about our trials and our temptations and what we walk out here on the earth. But I want to go to Daniel. I'm going to use Daniel as an example. Go to Daniel 3. Thank you, Lord Jesus. So we know the story of King Nebuchadnezzar and Daniel, and we know Nebuchadnezzar had a dream that all his interpreters couldn't interpret it, so he was looking for someone, and he found Daniel, that Daniel could interpret his dream. So he called for Daniel. Daniel came in. He interpreted the dream, and Nebuchadnezzar was wowed by it, pretty much. He's like, you hit it right on the head. So we'll look in 2. And I'll start in 46. Then King Nebuchadnezzar fell on his face, prostrate before Daniel, and commanded that they should present an offering and incense to him. The king answered Daniel and said, "Truly your God is the God of gods, the Lord of kings, the revealer of secrets, and since you could reveal this secret." Then the king promoted Daniel and gave him many great gifts. And he made him ruler over the whole province of Babylon and chief administrator over all the wise men of Babylon. That's a pretty good promotion right there. So that's a lot of responsibility that Daniel just took on. Also, Daniel petitioned the king, and he set Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego over the affairs of the province of Babylon, but Daniel sat in the gate of the king. So, you know, back in the first part of Daniel, where Daniel and his friends were taken out of the land and they were brought into the kingdom, and they said, okay, we're not going to eat what, you know, you want us to eat. Let us eat this and we'll prove ourselves. So they already had a reputation built with this king. So this king kind of knew who they were. So when Daniel was promoted, he's like, hey, I'm going to take on promotion. How about my friends? Let's bring my friends along for the promotion. Amen? And, you know, I like this. Promotion comes from God. That promotion didn't come from King Nebuchadnezzar. God used King Nebuchadnezzar to give Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego the promotion. But the promotion actually come from God, because Daniel and those boys had favor already. Amen? So they're in this land, and they're ruling and reigning with this king. And 23 years later, I've always read, you know, how you'll read the Bible and you'll read chapter back after, and then the next chapter rolls on, and you just kind of keep rolling the storyline. Well, I didn't realize that this was 23 years later that King Nebuchadnezzar makes this image. So before, my thinking is, how can this king go from seeing Daniel interpret his dream and then giving honor to God, which I don't think Nebuchadnezzar at that point, he really never gave honor to Jehovah, to Yahweh. He just gave honor to a God. He gave honor to Daniel's God. Nebuchadnezzar didn't recognize him as his God. So it made more sense when all of a sudden here comes this King Nebuchadnezzar with the nifty idea of making a golden image, that it was 23 years later. Amen? So let's look at the story here. Nebuchadnezzar, the king, made an image of gold whose height was 60 cubits and its width is 6 cubits. He set it up in the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. So this golden image that he made, about 90 feet tall. That's pretty tall, right? And from what I read on it, it probably wasn't a solid gold statue. It was probably gold inlaid, like it had a frame and then gold inlaid over it. But 90 feet tall is a pretty large statue. So, and the king Nebuchadnezzar sent word to gather together the satraps, the administrators, the governors, the counselors, the treasurers, the judges, the magistrates, and all the officials of the province to come to the dedication of the image which King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. So, as I'm reading that, and I'm reading across, okay, your governors, magistrates, satraps, who was he calling in there? He was calling in people of authority. He was bringing in people of authority to make this, to proclaim this announcement of this golden image and what they were to do. Well, why did he bring the authority in first? Because you establish authority, you get authority brought in, and the rest follows, right? So he brought the authority, the people of authority, in first. It says, so the satraps and administrators and the governors, counselors, treasurers, and the judges and the magistrates and all the officials of the provinces gathered together for the dedication of the image that King Nebuchadnezzar had set up, and they stood before the image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. It says, then a herald cried aloud, to you it is commanded, O peoples, nations, and languages. So I kind of got curious about herald. You know, what is a herald? And when he brought that herald in that cried aloud, that herald was a representative of the authority the king had given him. Hey, you're going to go proclaim this to all people. And if you look it up, it says when he cried aloud, it said he cried aloud with strength. So that authority was there. And then you have this herald that has the authority of the king to come in and make his proclamation. So we've established that authority's there. And so the herald comes in to proclaim and attract the attention of the public. So now that we have authority in place, and now we have the herald coming in and getting the attention of the public. Okay. Let me tell you where my mind kind of ran with all this. I'm not up here to debate politics. I'm not up here to talk politics. But what we have going on right now, we have an election year going on. So we have all these people of authority gathering together and rallying for people's votes, and we have people that are heralding, they're proclamating what they're going to do and what they're not going to do. So they have the attention of the public, right? We are the public. They have our attention. So I've got this going on in my head the same time I'm reading this story. So in the New Testament, a herald is translated as the preacher. I thought that was interesting. Amen? So the herald cried aloud, to you it is commanded, O people and nations, that at the time you hear the sound of the horn, flute, harp, lyre, psaltery, and symphony, with all kinds of music, you shall fall down and worship the gold image that King Nebuchadnezzar has set up. Amen? So he's lining them up. He's telling them what to do. And what stuck out in that to me was, it said with all kinds of music. So why did that king line all this music up to be played before they were to worship this golden image? Okay, well, I had to check this out. Why music? Do you know that music has an effect on your brain? Yeah. Amen. So what music does, to put it in layman's terms, basically what music, your brain's made up of several different parts. But what music does, it bypasses your analytical part of thinking and goes straight to your feel-good part of thinking. I could have given you all the medical terminology, but that's the layman's terminology. So when you hear music, your mind don't start processing, unless you're a musician, then it might start processing of what key's that in. But for most people, it just bypasses the part of thinking, you know, analyzing that music, and just goes through, you hear that beat, and then you start feeling good. It depends on what kind of music it is. But if it moves you, so this king had set up all these instruments to be played. Pretty smart guy. When it gets right down to it, he was a pretty smart guy about how he was bringing in all these people of authority, and then he's putting on a concert for the people. Basically, is what he's doing. So he's working on their emotions and getting their feelings right. So why music? So I looked up a little bit of things on music I thought was interesting. So let me tell you different parts of music and how different parts of music can affect you. So we'll start with classical. Does anybody enjoy classical in here? Yeah, I like a little bit of classical. Wow, this side's a little heavier than this side. We're going to have to work on some classical music over here. So let me tell you what. Wait a minute, I need to tell these guys because they listen to it more. So classical music, it enhances dopamine secretion and synaptic function of learning and memory. So classical music is going to make you a little smarter, it sounds like. So crank up some Mozart or Beethoven or, yeah. All right. Do we have any rap people in here? Bubba. Yeah. Okay. Clean rap. I don't know, but what? Never mind. I won't even go there. Rap. Okay. Here's what it does. It stimulates emotion. Language, I definitely agree, it stimulates some language. Motivation, motor function, and processing. That's pretty interesting. Jazz soothes the body. So go home and put you some jazz on today. And then pop rock improves endurance and enhances physical performance. That makes sense. But it also says that it can distract you while you're working. I get that. So heavy metal. We got any heavy metal people in here? All right. Heavy metal elicits a sense of identity and a knack for community development. I have no idea what that really means, but there we go. And I'm going to get hated on this, and I don't feel it. Country music. It invokes depression and addiction. I am totally kidding about that. I'll be honest with you, country music wasn't even on the list. So if you like country music, feel free. But leave me out of it. So do we understand a little bit of why music now? Is that not pretty interesting, what music does? And is it what I find? You know, Lucifer, he was over praise and worship. He was in heaven over praise and worship. He had timbrels and instruments and music just came out of him. And to rise up in such a pride to think that he could overthrow God. And to have that, I mean, to be, Lucifer was anointed. He was an anointed angel. So I think that's why he attacks our music and the effects on kids today with the music. I think that's why he's so hard on that scene, because that was his. We all have specialties. We all have things that we're good at. That's what he was. He was excellent at that. So naturally, here on this earth, he's going to use that against us. Amen? So I just thought that was really neat about the music part. And I thought this was interesting Friday night when Pastor Ronnie was talking about building churches. And a lot of what your modern-day churches are doing today, instead of building a church on the Word of God and building the church on the Holy Spirit and mission work and some of the old established covenant ways of building a church, they are building their church off of music now. It's like, I'm going to go to that church if I like that music. It's not, I'm going to go to that church if I like the word that's coming from the pulpit. It's, I'm going to go to that church if I like that. That's a dangerous place. And I don't advise anybody to go to a church just simply because all you enjoy is their music. Amen? Go for the Word of God. Go where God is calling you to go. If they have great music there and God's called you to go there, wonderful. If they have a tambourine and a banjo and it sounds like two cats fighting out in a dumpster, but God's called you to go there. Amen. Wherever God's called you to go, go. Amen. So he's using this music to usher all these people in. He's attacking, getting on their emotions, trying to get them to feel good. So it says, with all kinds of music, and whoever does not fall down in worship shall be cast immediately into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. Okay, I'm going to get you feeling good, and then I'm going to scare you to death by threatening to throw you in a fiery furnace. So, evil at work. So at that time, when all the people heard the sound of the horn, flute, harp, and lyre, in symphony, with all kinds of music, all the people, nations, and languages fell down and worshiped the gold image which King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Apparently it worked. Whatever he did, they did what he said. So therefore at the time, certain Chaldeans came forward and accused the Jews. Here comes the gossipers and the backbiters. They spoke and said to King Nebuchadnezzar, O king, live forever. And the suck-ups. You, O king, have made a decree that everyone who hears the sound of the horn, flute, harp, lyre, and psaltery, and symphony with all kinds of music shall fall down and worship the gold image. And whoever does not fall down and worship shall be cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. There are a certain Jew whom you have set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not paid due regard to you. They do not serve your gods or worship the gold image which you have set up. So it says, then Nebuchadnezzar in rage and fury gave the command to bring Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. So they brought these men before the king. So I want to talk about their name for just a second. So, you know, their name was not originally, that's not their original name. The eunuch, the prince eunuch, changed their name when they came in. And the reason he changed their name was he gave them a Babylonian name. Originally, Daniel and the three friends had Hebrew names. That was a reflection toward God. I think I'll give you the names. But Shadrach, his original name was Hananiah, which means gift of the Lord. Meshach was Mishael, who is what God is. Abednego, Ezra, whom Jehovah helps. And Belshazzar, Daniel. I mean, Daniel got the worst one of them all. Because Belshazzar is God of Baal or something or other like that is what it means. But in Hebrew, Daniel means God is judge. So no wonder this guy changed their name. And I was thinking about that. That happens with us. People want to change our name. And they're not going to change your name from Pam to Sarah. How they want to change their name is, they want to change your name of being, okay, hey, that's Todd. I know he's a good Christian guy. He's an upright businessman. He works with integrity. He treats people fair. So that Todd is your name. You know, the word says a good name is rather to be chosen. That's Todd's name. Well, you know what the world wants to do with Todd's name? It don't necessarily want to give Todd a Babylonian name. But what the world wants to do is take Todd. Okay, Todd. Christ gave you a name and a reputation. The world wants to give you the reputation of he's unfair, he's unjust, he's crooked, he's dishonorable. That's what the world wants to do. So just like how that prince eunuch changed their name, today the world wants to change our name. Amen? Does that make sense? So he's gathered them together. And the king is really mad, and he's going to throw them in the fire. It says in verse 14, Nebuchadnezzar spoke, saying to them, "Is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the gold image which I have set up?" And I thought, we could face the same thing today. Somebody could come up to us and say, you know, back what I was telling you earlier when I was reading about all the authorities and stuff. Somebody could come up to us and say, is it true that you don't agree with the left? Is it true that you don't agree with this agenda that we're putting forward? What do you know to be true? And at some point, when you're faced with that, you're going to have to stand up for that. And you're going to have to speak truth. You know your allegiance to God is challenged on a daily basis. Yep. Whether you're 100% totally sold out to God and serving God is challenged every day. Yep. Amen? Yep. So is it true? So it says, now if you're ready, they have a choice. Everybody that was there had the choice. They had the choice whether they were going to bow. They had the choice if they were going to worship that image. They all had that choice to make. At the time you hear the sound of the horn, flute, harp, lyre, and symphony with all kinds of music, and you will fall down and worship the image which I have made, which Nebuchadnezzar had made. And then he tags it with good. You remember Pastor Ronnie talking Friday night about human good? Nebuchadnezzar sees this as good in him that he done. It's human good. But if you do not worship, you shall be cast immediately in the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is the God who will deliver you from my hands? Who is the God? It's the same God that helped Daniel interpret your dream. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. Amen. Don't cast your pearls for swine. Amen. They knew who they were. They knew what their God was going to do for them. If that is the case, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us from your hand, O king. Now, I bet that made that king. That king was probably more mad then than he was before when he heard that they wouldn't do it. Amen? And I like that. Our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us. But there's a key to that. The key to that is whom do we serve. Yes, God is able. God is able and willing to do for each and every one of us. God is able to help us in our finances. God is able to help us in our health. God is able. It says God is able to do exceedingly and above all that we can ask or think. God is able to do. But you got to serve him. If you're not serving him, is he able? He's kind of like tying his hands. So they were serving him and they knew what God would do for them. Amen? But if not, let it be known to you, O king, that we do not serve your gods, nor will we worship the gold image which you have set up. Amen? So they made a stand. And we have to make a stand. Every day we make a stand for God. And I was thinking about that. He wanted them to bow and worship. You're going to be faced in your life with circumstances, with things that are challenging you to bow to them. Be like the Hebrew children here. Don't bow to it. The only thing we bow to and the only thing we worship is God. Amen? We don't bow to the world. We don't bow to money. We don't bow to greed. Amen? We bow to the King of Kings. Amen? Amen. So, y'all want to read the rest of the story? Amen. We'll do it, Doug. Then Nebuchadnezzar was full of fury, and the expression on his face changed toward Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Now he was really mad. He spoke and commanded that they heat the furnace 7 times more than was usually heated. That's hot. And he commanded certain mighty men of valor who were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and cast them into the burning fiery furnace. I thought about that. Why did he command mighty men of valor? Why does the Bible tell us that he commanded mighty men of valor? If you make a stand for God, there's a lot of good people in the world that are not necessarily Christians. They're good, morally people, but they haven't accepted Christ. Or they don't know Jesus. But if you make a stand for God and you don't bow, even though those good and morally people are good, but they haven't accepted Jesus, the end result is not the same for them as it is us. So these are probably good guys that grabbed them. And then it says, then the men were bound in their coats, their trousers, and their turbans, and their other garments, and were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's command was urgent, the furnace exceedingly hot, the flame of fire killed those men who took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Those men of valor died obeying the wrong command. They obeyed what their king was telling them to do, but they weren't obeying like Shadrach, Meshach were obeying their king. So if they would have been obedient to the king of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, God might have saved them too. They may not have died. Amen? And these three men Well, it's 24. Then King Nebuchadnezzar was astonished, and he rose in haste and spoke, saying to his counselors, "Did we not cast three men bound into the midst of the fire?" And they answered and said to the king, "True, O king." "Look," he answered, "I see four men loose walking in the midst of the fire, and they are not hurt. And the form of the fourth is like the Son of God." Amen. Hallelujah. It wasn't, you know, Nebuchadnezzar didn't know about Jesus. He didn't know who the Son of God was. So actually what he was saying was a son of a God. He thought it was a son of a God. He knew it was an angel. He knew it was some kind of deity, right? So he saw four walking around down there. So that just goes to show, by them guys being obedient and not bowing to the false, God saved them. And that's what I'm saying with us today in this world. If we'll be obedient to Jesus and don't bow to this world and don't compromise and don't give in to the things of this world, he will always, like I said, he's able. He's always ready to help us and to save us. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Yeah. Praise God. Let's look in, I want to read Psalm 115 because it just goes along with it really well. It says, "Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but to your name give glory. Because of your mercy, because of your truth, why should the Gentiles say, 'So where is their God?' But our God is in heaven. He does whatever he pleases. Their idols are silver and gold, the works of men's hands. They have mouths, but they do not speak. Eyes they have, but they do not see." And in this, I think about that image that Nebuchadnezzar made when I read this. "They have ears, but they do not hear. Noses they have, but they do not smell. They have hands, but they do not handle. Feet they have, but they do not walk, nor do they mutter through their throat. Those who make them are like them. So is everyone who trusts in them. O Israel, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. O house of Aaron, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. You who fear the Lord, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. The Lord has been mindful of us. He will bless us." Praise God. Amen. "He will bless the house of Israel. He will bless the house of Aaron. He will bless those who fear the Lord, both small and great. May the Lord give you increase more and more, you and your children. May you be blessed by the Lord who made heaven and earth. The heaven, even the heavens, are Lord's. But the earth he has given to the children of men." Amen. Amen. "The dead do not praise the Lord, nor any who go down into silence, but we will bless the Lord from this time forth and forevermore." Praise the Lord. Amen. 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 Is that not an awesome song?
Yes.
Praise God. Well, God's good.
Yes.
Amen. Everybody stand. Had to look to Penny for my instructions. Hallelujah. Well, I hope y'all got something out of that.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord. Father, we just thank you so much. Father, I just want to honor you this morning. Father, I just give you all the glory. I give you all the praise. And I thank you, Lord, for all that you're doing in our lives. Father, I thank you for each and every person in here, Father. Father, I pray that you bless them, increase their lives, Father. Father, reveal to them who you are more and more daily. Father, I ask that that word of knowledge, that word of wisdom will increase in their life. And I just speak a financial, spiritual blessing over them, Father. Father, I thank you for our pastors in this house. Father, I thank you, Lord, that you keep them strong and keep them in perfect health. Father, give them a good safe trip back, Father. Father, I thank you for everything you're doing in this house and through your people. And in Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Amen. We got some announcements.
Praise the Lord. All right, just a couple of announcements, and then we will say our confession together. I'll pray a blessing, and then you can go. Hallelujah. So just keep in mind, we have a couple of ministers coming in. Reverend Ingolf Schmidt will be here Friday, March 13th at 7, and then Sunday, March 15th at 11. Again, if you have never been here for Brother Schmidt, I highly recommend you come. I love to hear him and his testimony, and he has such a powerful word to share. He also has an audio book that I don't know if we have it in our bookstore. We used to. If not, you can go on his website and get it. He wrote a book, and he narrates it. You can get the audio book, and it's so, I just love to hear him speak. He's from Germany, so he has a real heavy accent, and I love to hear it, but he has a powerful word, especially for America in this last day. So you need to come and hear him. Also, Dr. Mary Baxter will be here Friday and Saturday, April 17th and 18th at 7 o'clock, and then Sunday, April 19th at 11. So be here for that. She is powerful as well. She's the lady that God allowed her to go to heaven and hell. You say, well, I don't believe that happens. Well, I do, and it is also in the Bible. So it is powerful when you hear these people that God allowed to do that, and they get to come back and give us their testimony about it. It really makes you not want to go to hell. I will say that. So there's the benefit in that. So praise the Lord. So let's say our Psalms 91 confession. And yeah, that's it, right? So we're going to say our Psalms 91 confession together. Oh, there it is. Are y'all ready? Okay, here we go. We live by the words of our mouth, and we confess Psalms 91 right now in Jesus' name. I say that no evil shall befall me, and no plague shall come nigh my dwelling, for he has given his angels charge over me to keep me in all my ways. I am going to live in great peace, great joy, and great prosperity. The grace of God is upon me. Therefore, I have the ability of God in life to be an overcomer. Everything I put my hand to will be successful. I have favor with God and man. I will go from strength to strength. I will rule in this life, live in joy, and walk in the love of God. Hallelujah. We believe that Pastor Ronnie, he actually, this is scriptural, and he got this from the Bible, and he drew this up for us to say together. It is a wonderful confession. It's wonderful for you to speak this over your children as you go to school in the mornings as well, and over your businesses. It works. Amen. Hallelujah. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift his countenance on you and give you great peace. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You are blessed, and you may go in peace.